In spite of my past distractions, work on the lectionary here at the Monastery of Monte Cassino is proceeding well. Over the last few months, I've had the scribes add a dedication page to the illuminated manuscript, and I've entreated them to design the initial letters as true works of art, decorated according to the best techniques of the monastery. In fact, I've had them include an image of our beloved Abbot Desiderius in the act of introducing the monk John to Saint Benedict. John is my uncle, as well as the person who wishes to donate the volume to the monastery. I've also managed to include myself in the miniature. I've depicted myself kneeling at the feet of the saint while offering a piece of cloth to be used to protect the precious codex once it is finished. With regard to my obsession with Macro's diary, now I can affirm that it has definitely come to an end, such that I can finally return to my duty of working on the codex. The narration of the Roman prefect indeed breaks off immediately after his visit to his father's tomb. Macro probably did not take his diary with him on his return to Rome, which was planned for the following day, as he himself explained. As evidence of this, I came across a few other rolls written by Macro nearly a year later during another stay at his villa in Alba Fucens. Macro's last words read as follows. Here I am again in my beloved Alba Fucens. Here I am again, far from Rome and from Caligula. I wanted to play with fire, and I got burnt. I wanted to challenge the emperor, and I failed. During the first months of his reign, my role as his trusted advisor was never questioned. Indeed, Caligula even refused to speak with his grandmother, Antonia Minor, unless I was present. Gradually, though, things changed, and soon the real Caligula showed himself. The cruel emperor, the petty man, the duplicitous traitor. My growing authority at his court evidently began to bother him. He reacted by hurling accusations at me. Yes, the same Caligula who flattered my wife Enya Thrasilla, constantly wanting her with him, now dredged up sexual scandals involving her to strike at the man that he wanted to get rid of. This was an effective way of turning his own guilt for his depraved actions against my family, and against me especially, as I was the only person who, knowing him so well, could reveal those actions publicly. In the end, from the same Caligula arrived the order, written between the lines of a veiled threat, demanding that I take my own life, as well as those of Enya and of my children. Were I to disobey the order, he promised a worse form of death, together with the confiscation of all my goods. So if I have to die, I will, without waiting for Caligula to send some mercenary to perform the filthy deed. I will die by my own hand, but I'll do it here, in Alba Fucens, in the land that loves me and that I love. I'll do it here, in the confines of my home. I am a prisoner in this golden cage, just like the ancient dethroned kings before me, Syphax of Numidia, Perseus of Macedon, and Bituitus of Auvergne. This is the price one pays for living in an era that only now I understand to be profoundly corrupt. I have taken part in this cruel game. Today, I leave it, repentant and laid low, though in the awareness that all of this can't go on indefinitely, that the great Roman Empire won't last forever. It will fall, I believe, collapsing under its own weaknesses, which are corroding its foundations day by day. Perhaps it won't happen today or tomorrow, or not even in a century, But happen it will. Caligula will certainly fall. He is the emblem of this weakness, and he too will probably be stabbed in the back by those he believes to be his friends. Before dying, I wish to leave something of mine to this beautiful city. In my testament, I have already indicated the recipients of my possessions. I would like to have an amphitheater built here, near my villa at the foot of the southern hill. It will be a great structure, able to hold more than 10,000 spectators and to bring smiles back to the faces of my people with games and performances in celebration of Quintus Naevius Cordus Sutorius Macro, a man who contributed to making Albifucians great and prosperous. As far as these rolls of papyrus are concerned, I hope one day someone may find them and read them. Here, I have confessed some of my most terrible secrets. Now, finally, I've arrived at the point of my redemption. As I have said, I'm convinced that the empire will fall, and with it will fall this city and all of Rome's provinces, near and far. Yet, I'm equally convinced that the inevitable decline of this civilization will one day be followed by a more splendid dawn, a new Alba.